Back to My Garden, episode 68.
Welcome to Back to My Garden. Discover your passion for gardening. Here's Dave Ledoux.
What's the hottest trend in gardening? I think the hottest trend is aquaponics. Can you really grow a massive garden powered by fish? Find out more and discover the secrets to building fish-powered gardens at www.backtomygarden.com/fish. Are you a garden lover? Do you want to save time, save money, and have your most incredible garden ever? Receive free tips, strategies, and gardening techniques from passionate gardeners around the world. Join the VIP club for free today at www.backtomygarden.com/VIP. Well, good afternoon or good evening, depending on where you are in the world when you listen to this. I'm Dave Ledoux, and welcome to another episode of Back to My Garden. And today we have a special guest joining us all the way over in England. Dennis is the former head gardener at Trinity College at Cambridge. He's also a budding garden entrepreneur, and he writes a tremendous gardening blog called The Tattooed Gardener. He's got a ton of wisdom and ideas to share with us today. We have a lot to talk about, so I want to welcome from Cambridge in the United Kingdom, Dennis Footman. Hi, Dennis.
Hello.
I'm glad you're on the show with us today. Welcome.
No worries.
I've given you a little brief introduction, and I want to get to know you, and the listeners definitely want to get to hear your stories as well. Can you take a minute or two, Dennis, and tell us a little bit about your background and how did you get into gardening?
Well, basically, I got into gardening many years ago. My granddad was a gardener at Hemmerford Gray Manor, just outside St Ives in Cambridge. The lady who owned the place was a lady called Lucy Boston, who actually wrote the Children of Green Noah books. And when I used to follow my granddad around his own garden, I actually ended up following him all the way to Hemmerford Gray. And basically, that's where my love of gardening came from. I'd done a little bit of work there in, you know, work experience when I was at school, and then a little bit more afterwards when I left school. And it was actually Lucy Boston herself that encouraged me to do further, you know, go into further education, horticultural education. And basically, that's where it grew from there. Done a little bit of time in commercial horticulture, budding and grafting. Went on, worked for myself, and then ended up at a place called Newhall College, which is now called Murray Edwards. Became the deputy head gardener. Left there in late 90s. Had a little break and then joined Trinity College as an undergardener in 2000. Was made up to deputy head gardener in 2004. And then eventually head gardener in 2010. And I left there recently on the 31st of October of this year. And I basically set up my own business.
Fantastic. All right. Well, you've given us a lot to work with there, Dennis. For those of you driving in your cars or jogging or exercising, listening to us on your iPads, Dennis and I are going to talk about gardening, and you sit back. Don't worry about taking notes. I'm going to jot all the links and resources down, and I'll put them up on the blog at the website. Make sure you follow Dennis on Twitter. He's at denmetal69, that's denmetal69, and he also has a great blog at thetattooedgardener.wordpress.com, and I'll have a link in the show notes to that. Where to start, Dennis? I'd love to hear about your time as a head gardener at Trinity College. Was there a lot of pressure? What was it like when you walked into that job? How big was the property? I know it must have been a huge responsibility.
Yeah, I think the enormity of Trinity College actually hit me more so when I became an undergardener there in 2000. I didn't think I'd actually ever get the job because I'd been out of gardening for only about 18 months, been doing a bit of self-employment. I really didn't think they'd take me on. So the progression up to deputy head and head gardener was just natural. There was pressure, but it's the best place you could ever work. It's a beautiful college, wonderful, steeped in history. Obviously, Isaac Newton, Lord Byron, and all that. You know, it was just a wonderful place to work. Obviously, leaving Trinity College was a, you know, a massive decision, but I wanted to move on to pastures new.
I remember reading a story about Oxford College. The carpenter that built the roof on the dining hall at Oxford planted some oak trees, knowing that in 400 years the beams in the dining hall would need to be replaced. Only a gardener would think 400 years into the future and actually plant the trees to replace the beams in a hall. There must have been massive trees and old growth and flowers. Did you have any specific favorites at Trinity?
What, favorite plants or favorite areas of the garden, you mean?
Yeah,
or?
Favorite parts of the garden. Like if you had half an hour to go hide, where would you hide at Trinity College?
Sorry, you broke up there.
Oh, where would you spend your time fooling around or having a relax at Trinity? Where would you go?
Well, Trinity itself, the garden is approximately 38 acres. And I would quite easily, I wouldn't be lying in saying I loved every area of that garden. He had your more formal courts, Great Court, which is obviously very famous for the Chariots of Fire and all that. But I used to like the Fellows Garden. I suppose that was probably the area of the college that I liked the most. Because when I started as an undergardener, a few of the gardens just off the Fellows Garden is where I started. And I suppose until the day I left, you know, that was the area I really enjoyed working in the most. But I can quite easily say, you know, every part, every moment of Trinity College was just an absolute pleasure.
You know, your career now, 20 years of high-level gardening. A lot of the listeners love hearing about mistakes that you see other gardeners make. Can you, any come to mind? Do you see common mistakes being repeated in the garden?
Common mistakes? Well, we all make mistakes, and you have to learn from them mistakes. I can't think of any at the moment that I've made, and I can guarantee I've made a few, but no, not really, no.
Yeah, I guess in a garden, you know, 38 acres, you have everything. I mean,
it was very diverse. Yeah, it was about 39,000 square meters of formal lawn. You had to, when you were a head gardener of any college, doesn't matter if it's Trinity College or a smaller garden, you know, you have to be a jack of all trades, master and none sort of thing, you know, because one minute you could be, you know, dealing with the lawns, and then you could be onto the trees, then you're onto herbaceous, and then you're dealing with the annual lists and then the future bulbs planting and that sort of thing. And your whole working day could be very diverse.
I wanted to ask you about things like poisons and weed killers, because the attitude has really changed over the last 25, 30 years. Were you kind of part of that change where, you know, in the 70s you could kill anything with poison and now you'll go to jail if you do certain things, right?
That's right. Well, obviously you have to be extremely careful what you're using. Doesn't matter if it's a herbicide, pesticide. I'd always look at ways where you could try and not use the chemical. To see if there is another way you could do that job without putting a chemical down. Obviously, from time to time, we've had to, but a lot of research was done into the chemical itself before it was even bought. You know, we'd even get the safety data sheets, the cost assessments, even before the product was bought.
Yeah, and when you're buying for a college that size, I mean, it's not like you're buying one or two containers at the corner store.
That's right.
The kind of quantities and budgets you had must have been incredible.
Yes, yeah, it was a reasonable budget.
Mm-hmm. Very good. I know you've got your fingers in a new entrepreneurial venture. What does gardening mean for you nowadays? I know you're writing a blog and working on other things. You have tremendous experience. What excites you now about gardening?
Getting my hands dirty again. Obviously, being a head gardener pulled me away from the garden a little bit. I always knew it would do. And, you know, I just basically wanted to go back to what made me the head gardener in the first place. And that is basically going back and getting your hands dirty again. And I've done a couple of days. My business doesn't actually start properly until after Christmas, but I've done a few days now, and it's just nice to get them scratches on your hand again from the roses and get your hands back into the dirt again. And that's what I've really missed. So, yeah, it's a fresh challenge, and, yeah, I'm really looking forward to it.
You know, in the winter at my house, my wife has all the paper on the table planning next year's garden. And there's a lot of, you know, we have those raised beds, and we have to rotate a lot of the vegetable crops because they can't kind of stay in the same soil. What do you got planned for your garden next year? How do you see it developing?
My own garden, you mean?
Or your own garden.
My own garden, well... That's one thing I was hoping you weren't asking me on. Yeah, for people who see my garden, probably wouldn't think, hang on a minute, he wasn't the head gardener at a famous college like Trinity. So my garden has been forgotten about in the last few years. So basically from after Christmas, my whole garden is going to get a new revamp. And basically there's a lot of renovation work that needs doing to it. The lawns he's doing, the weeds have got out of control. And basically, yeah, I've got big plans, complete overhaul for my garden for next year.
Now, Cambridge probably has very similar weather to London. We have a lot of international listeners. What's it like climate-wise where you live? Do you get a lot of heat or sun or rain? Everyone thinks that England, it rains, but you have your own unique climate, don't you?
Yeah, recently it's been a lot of wet weather. We're very damp and mild. Last winter, we never had a winter as such. I don't think we had any snow in the Cambridge area, which something I do miss. I do love the snow. But they often say it's the driest part of England is around the southeast corner part. We did a couple of years, not long after I become head gardener, actually, we had a couple of years of basically very little rain. But that changed completely in 2012, where we had one of the wettest years ever. So it can be very challenging to, because it's so changeable for me to sort of, you know, as a head gardener or any gardener, to plan, you know, for the next year. Especially at Trinity, you know, when one year you'd get snow, then you buy your ice melt for the following year, and then nothing happens, and you know, things like that. But at the moment it's very mild and damp at the moment, too mild for this time of year anyway.
A friend of mine from Derbyshire was explaining how England has a slug problem in their gardens. Do you have any strategies to deal with pests?
Right, slug problems. We never really had a major problem at Trinity. We did use the bird-friendly slug pellets from time to time, but it was only mainly the hostas. They attacked. We didn't have too much of an issue. Aphids and greenfly was quite a lot of an issue there, but often we used to use lacewings larvae to attack them, and they're quite ferocious when it comes to dealing with the aphids. But we did have a chafer problems in the lawn, which was reported on quite widely in the Cambridge area. A lot of the college did, and that is basically the cockchafer grubs, rose chafer, werewolf chafer would get into the lawns, eat away at the roots, and the crows will come along and basically lift the lawn for you, and some of the damage was quite devastating.
Mm. You're making me smile. Where I live, the lawns have maggot problems, like grubs. And yeah, they're the favorite delicacy of skunks. So I have a neighbor, his entire lawn was just ripped to shreds by a pair of skunks trying to get at the grubs.
Right. Oh, it was the crows that done the damage for us.
Yeah, a crow is the national bird of England, I think.
Yeah, do right.
very good. Well, I need to get some tips and strategies for the novice gardeners. We play a game called Five Quick Questions. And this is where I rapid fire some questions at you, and you kind of share your experience and wisdom with the brand new gardeners. Are you ready to play?
Well, I'll give it a shot.
Okay. In question number one, what's the most popular excuse that you've ever heard why people don't garden or why people are afraid to start a garden?
I haven't got enough time. That is, do you mean as a thing at home or professionally?
For most people, it's at home. Yeah, I would agree with time. Sure, sure.
Yeah, not enough time. That's the main one we hear.
And I've seen the traffic around London. I know what it's like commuting. And the last thing you do want to do when you're tired is garden. But I bet you gardening is something different to you than to most people, right? It's not just work for you.
It's a hobby. Most professional gardeners, their hobby is gardening as well. So, you know, to many that has had a stressful day stuck in traffic in London or Cambridge, because the traffic in Cambridge is dire, to spend a bit of time at home in the garden, you don't have to do much, a little and often. That's a good form of relaxation.
Nice. Question number two. What's the best gardening advice that you've ever heard?
The best gardening advice I've ever heard. God, dear. Good one. Don't do it. I don't know.
I'll tell you mine, and it might help you think.
Well, mine goes actually back to actually thinking about it when I used to do budding and grafting at a fruit tree nursery, because I started budding when I was only about 17. And I was always told first thing in the morning was to make sure you had a sharp knife. Enough to cut the back of your hairs or the back, you know, the back of your hand, because you're less likely to cut your hand with a sharp knife than you would be with a blunt knife.
Ooh.
And a blunt knife, you'd slip more than often and catch your fingers when you're budding. So yeah, I suppose that in some ways, yeah.
That line of work must require an incredible amount of patience.
Well, budding and grafting.
Budding and grafting.
It's a skill that not many get into, not in this part of the world anyway. So I was very, very lucky to get into that. And it's another thing that I'm glad I've done.
You mentioned fruit trees. Was it apples or a bit of everything?
Apples, plums, cherries, pears, that sort of thing. We went into ornamentals and done a few ashes and that before. I've done it for 5 seasons.
I call him my neighbor. He's about 15 minutes from me. He's an apple farmer, and he was doing peaches.
Oh, and yeah.
We lost all of our peach trees in our part of the world 3 winters ago in February. It went up to about what they call like low 80s in Fahrenheit in the end of February, like 26 Celsius. And then it went down to below zero, and all the sap froze, and the trees like exploded.
Yeah.
Just killed everything, and it's tough work being a farmer, I think, sometimes.
Yeah, you have extreme weather out your way, didn't you?
If you ever think of a map of North America, there's this collection of lakes called the Great Lakes, kind of in the top northeast, and I live right on the edge of what they call Lake Erie. And this time last year, we got 3 feet of snow in 28 hours.
I'm quite jealous, but that must have been really hard.
You get to meet your neighbors because they can't get out of their house. And you just, we went around and I saw this little woman. She's about 5 feet tall and 100 pounds. And she stepped off her front step and she almost disappeared. The snow was up to her chest. And so we all had to like dig her out of the snowbank. And And then a week later, all the snow was gone.
Yeah. Oh, dear. Now, each year, I pray for snow. I've got to admit, I've never grown up out of that. So, my youngest is the same. She loves it. So
it plays a role, too, winter. It kills some of your bugs and some of your pests and moistens the soil.
That's right. Yeah. The weather in England, especially in our part of the world, it seems to get stuck. And like I said, we didn't have a winter last year. It was very mild and wet. It was a nothing weather, but a couple of seasons prior to that, obviously not to your extent, we had some very cold winters, and I think you need that. It helps the garden.
Absolutely. Oh, question number three. You've been gardening a very long time, What's one or two things that you love to grow, and what's one or two things you hate to grow?
Right, that one's easy. The plant I love the most, now, like I said, I got into gardening because of my granddad, and in his garden, he had a wonderful shrub called Daphne Adora Aurea Marginata, and that is my all-time favourite and always will be. And unfortunately, I lost my nan in 2008. And the day of a funeral, the scent coming from that shrub was amazing. So it's got sentimental value as well.
Very good.
The plant I hate the most is, is a couple of actually. Is Euphorbia robbii. It's a low-growing one. It's good for shade and it's good for being chucked in the bin. A few of it is a running joke a little bit at Trinity, because a lot of the gardeners knew if they wanted to grow it, they'd have to really sell it to me for me to accept it, because not a favourite of mine. And the other one is forget-me-nots.
Forget-me-nots, yeah.
Not good. A fan of that at all.
Do you have ivy growing there?
Ivy? Yeah, we have a lot of ivy, actually. Some of the variegated ones, it serves a purpose. Obviously the common ivy.
The reason I ask is it invasive at all?
Well, not really, no. Well, you get the normal common ivy that can. I like to see it growing on as ground cover, but I don't like seeing it growing up trees, especially when you have to manage them, because I always often find they hide hidden dangers.
Wow, okay, that's a good tip. Hide hidden danger. Yeah, like...
It's all right in a woodland area, because it's good for nature and all that, but when you're dealing with a college or a garden, or any garden where you've got public in, I like to see, if there's anything going amiss with the tree, you can keep an eye on it.
Mm-hmm. Question number 4. We live in an internet world, and you have a great blog at The Tattooed Gardener. But books... I find the best way to find gardening books is from talking to gardeners. Can you think of a favorite gardening book you could suggest?
Sorry, you broke up there.
Oh, can you think of a gardening book that a favorite gardening book to suggest?
Right, difficult, interesting. When I left. To go on to do what these called the YTS scheme many years ago in 1986, where I went to was a wholesale nursery, and I was always told it was the Hillier's Book of Trees and Shrubs, and I was told by the owner at the time, this is the Bible for this area, area of horticulture, and I suppose that that has always been the book I'd have in my collection.
Nice. Question number 5 is a fun one. There's no right or wrong answer. It calls for you to predict the future. What's one thing that you've never grown before that you would like to try to grow in your garden next year? And what's the number one thing you recommend a beginner try to grow next year?
Right, the one that I would like to grow next year. Oh, dear. I've not really thought of that. in my own garden.
In your own garden. You've never grown it before, but you want to try.
Right. There is one that springs to mind that I do want to plant in my garden for next year, because without trying to promote my blog a little bit, I do this, it started as a bit of fun, of a thing called the Rock Garden, where my other passion in life is heavy metal rock music. And I combined that with plants. And it's Panicum Virgiatum Heavy Metal is a grass that I always wanted to grow at Trinity, but never got the chance. So that is probably a grass that I will be putting in my garden for next year.
Can you tell me that name one more time? I'm going to put it in the show notes.
Panicum Virgiatum Heavy Metal.
Wow. You just want... People love things that nobody else has. Like,
Well, that's not, it's not too rare, but it's, you know, obviously the name, and of course my love, the love of heavy rock music, you know, that's sort of a combination of the both.
You love heavy metal. I got to see Sabbath last 2 months ago.
Yeah, I've seen them, but without Ozzy.
For the first time, I mean, and, you know, they're not young men, and they were amazing.
Yeah, oh, the old ones are still the best ones. So.
I highly suggest, like, you know, some of the bands I grew up on, they're getting up into their 60s and 70s years old now, so you don't have that many more chances to see some of them.
That's right, yeah.
A lot of people don't know heavy metal was born in England.
That's right, yeah. They often say a lot of it in the West Country, in the Birmingham area. So.
Yeah. Sheffield and Birmingham and all those tough towns.
That's the ones, yeah.
Yeah, very good. Okay, so that's the one you're going to grow. Now, if someone's a brand new beginner, what's something they should try to grow next season if they're a beginner?
Yeah, it depends what they're looking for, really. Another thing I always like is scent. And I mentioned it a little bit with the Daphne Adora. Something that's easy to grow, not too difficult, but obviously, oh dear. I think any of the Philadelphus.
Mm. Nice.
Yeah. Yeah. Easy to grow plant, not too big, easy managed. And a lot of them will give you a lovely scent as well. And there's plenty to choose from.
We grew sweet peas as a climber, almost like a vegetation wall this year for the first time, and they were amazing smelling.
Yeah, never grown too much many sweet peas, but I might do in the future anyway.
Very good. For those of you listening, all of the links will be up on the blog at Back to My Garden. I'm going to have a link to Dennis's blog at thetattooedgardener.wordpress.com and a link to his Twitter at denmetal69. Now I understand it makes a lot more sense on your Twitter handle. That's good with your love of heavy metal. Mm-hmm. Dennis, you've been a brilliant guest. Our time has flown by. I want you to have the last word today. To the listeners, can you leave them with either a pearl of wisdom or a note of encouragement on their gardening adventures?
Pearl of wisdom, being wisdom. Yeah, I don't know if I can do that one. Well, when it comes to gardening, just keep at it and enjoy it. You know, it's a wonderful job. It's a wonderful hobby. It's always going to be testing, but that's the great thing about gardening. No two seasons are the same, and it's just the best thing you can do. Good for your health as well.
Very good. Dennis, you've been brilliant. Thanks for being a guest on the show.